It's such a joy and privilege to be in your church this morning. The church where our older son Jenny used to come and worship with you. And I would like to thank you for ministering to him spiritually and physically. Every time he remembers Farmville, he remembers you with the best memories he has. And he sends greetings to you today. As many of you know, he's married now, and he has a big bird. He has grown a big bird, and I'm sure this is a somewhat Farmville influence on him. I would like to thank Pastor Lee for inviting us. It's a privilege for us. We'll thank you. I would like to thank John and Rita for their hospitality. It's always great to come to your house. There are others that we see here that we know, like Paul and others, so it's such a privilege to be here with you. Now, I would like to talk this morning to you about the personal evangelism. We just read a story from the scripture, how Paul answered this call, come and help. He went to Macedonia, and we wished it would be so easy for us. Every time we went to the personal evangelism, we would receive a call. Somebody would tell us, please come and help us. We want to know Jesus. But it doesn't happen often at all. It doesn't happen at all. So it's not that simple. But I'm here standing in front of you saying here, and I would like to tell you that it is possible to practice personal evangelism. It is possible to have this joy in life to bring somebody to Christ. I know it's difficult. In fact, it's impossible for us humanly, because to change somebody's heart, it takes divine power. It takes God's power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit to change somebody. But there are people out there who cry out, please come and help. Even they don't realize right now that this is what they need. But we have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. I remember one story. Last year, I did my clinical chaplaincy residency in a hospital. It was a very liberal environment. People who call themselves Christians, in fact, they hated Christ, and it was very hard for me to be among them and to go through this training. And one time, nurse called us from the unit, and she said, please, somebody come. And actually, she called a specific chaplain, and she asked, please call this chaplain to come and talk to this patient, because this patient wants to be saved. Now, for me, it's a great news. You know, I always wanted to talk to people about Jesus and present the gospel, but this particular chaplain, he didn't care much about the gospel. In fact, he was in panic. He didn't know what to tell this person, how to present the gospel. But when he came to the unit and he met with the patient, he said, well, I'm here for you. I was told that you want to be saved. And the patient looked at him and he said, no, I told nurse I want to be shaved, not saved. So, sometimes we may misjudge what people want. But deep inside, even this person wanted to be shaved, but we know that really he needs to be saved. He's not saved. Because when Jesus when people would come to Jesus for healing, for instance, they thought that all they need is health, that all they need to be healed. Like, if you remember the story when four friends brought a paralyzed person to Jesus, and when there was so big crowd, they couldn't get him through into the house where Jesus was. They decided to open the roof and brought down this paralyzed person before Jesus. But remember what first thing Jesus did. He didn't heal first. He said, your sins are forgiven. Because Christ knew our real needs, and this is what he did for this person. So I know that probably all of you, I don't know, everybody in your church, I don't know where you stand regarding to Christ, whether you saved or not. I don't know what is your state on personal evangelism. But I wanted to tell you that it is possible to have this joy to bring somebody to Christ. In fact, this is a command, and we all realize that this is important. All those who follow Jesus, we all realize that this is Christ's commission, as we call it. It's written in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 and 20. I will read this verse for you, a passage for you. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority is given on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So Jesus commanded this to us. It was his final commission, and I believe, and I think many theologians believe, that this is our main mission for life. We have to imitate God in our life. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we need to ask ourselves, what was the greatest, the biggest mission for God? It was salvation of man, of people. We know this famous verse, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." This is the main mission for God the Father, was to send his Son that the world will be saved. The main mission for Jesus Christ was to come to this earth to die for people's sins and to teach the gospel so the world will be saved. And the same, the Holy Spirit, his main mission is to convict people of their sins so they would repent and come to Jesus Christ. Now, we want to be in God's mission. This is the main thing the most important thing, what is important for God. I want to be doing this too. And today I would like to invite you to look with me at the life of Jesus Christ himself. What he was doing, how he was doing evangelism, how he was reaching people. We know there are many kinds of evangelism. There is a public evangelism when people gather. When evangelists people gather people on the stadiums and preach there. There are TV evangelists. There is evangelism going on in the churches or in different other activities through sports, music. But today I want to focus on personal evangelism, because I believe this is something that each of us can do. You don't have to have a special gift to be a great evangelist, great speaker or communicator. You don't have to have any other special gifts. I believe this is something that each of us can do. And but for some reason we maybe have this excuse saying that, oh, it's too hard. I don't know what to say. I don't know where to find these people. And we have many excuses not to do it. But I would like to tell you that it's possible to do. And I'm saying this not because I'm an expert on this. I still have my struggles and I continue to grow in this. God had to work on my heart to change me. Even though I was a pastor of the church, Angela and I, we started a new church in Ukraine with 10 people. And it was a successful church. It was growing. But in about 5 years after we started the church, I started to feel that something is missing in my life. I was preaching, I was teaching, I was doing all this administrative work in the church, but something was missing. And then God talked to my heart. He, through different circumstances of life, through different books and the Bible, and I realized that I was missing the joy of bringing somebody personally to Christ. I was speaking publicly, I was teaching my people in church to do evangelism, but I didn't do it myself. So I pray that God would help me to bring somebody to Christ. And God would, you know, step by step, would change my heart toward personal evangelism. And he changed it so much that I and Angela now, we see this as the big, the most exciting thing to do in life. Yes, it's great to come on, to church on Sunday morning and to worship together, sing these great songs, listen to the message sermon from the Bible. But why do we have all of this? Just for ourselves? No. We want to recharge our batteries, so in order when we go out of this building, we would use this for God's glory, to continue worship Him and glorify His name by proclaiming the good news to others. But how practically we can do this? I would like to look at the life of Jesus. First of all, I think it's important for us to be changed by the gospel. You know, Jesus was a gospel. He was a good news. Of course, Jesus was man, but he was also fully God. So he had this life in himself. In fact, he was life. He didn't have to be changed by the gospel because he was the gospel. But we as people, we are sinful people. In fact, the Bible tells us that we are dead in our sins. We have to be resurrected by the gospel, by Jesus Christ, to be alive, to have this good news within us, to be changed by the good news. If we don't have it in us, we can't really give it to somebody else. We have to be changed by the gospel first. And this is something I would like each of us to ask this question of yourself. Am I changed by the gospel? Do I have the gospel within me? Am I child of God or not? It seems like it's an unnecessary question in churches, but in reality it's not. You know, there are many people who go to church, but they really don't know the true gospel of the Bible. They are not changed by the gospel of the Bible. So it's very important first to have this good news in you. Second, for Jesus, as I see, the rich people, to save people, was his priority in life. You know, he came to this earth to do this mission, to die for people's sins, to teach them the gospel. And if you look at his life, everything he does was subject or submitted to this main mission, to his main goal. Nothing would deviate him from his main mission. He came, you know, for the cross, to die for people's sins. Now if we look at our jobs, at our lives, if somebody, let's say, from outside would look at our life and try to describe and tell from outside what is the main mission of this person, of this man or woman. I don't know, but if when I look at people's lives or at my life, sometimes I don't see that God's mission to save people, personal evangelism, is my priority in life. Oftentimes it's a job, oftentimes it's food, it could be fun, recreation, it could be other hobbies, could be marriage, could be wife or kids. But I believe that those things are good and important, but everything else can be subject to the main mission. When you love your family, you love your children and wife, why can't make a priority to make sure that they know the gospel and they are saved? Job is important, yes, but why can't we use money that we make in our job to proclaim the gospel? Why can't we make sure that people who are on us in our jobs, they hear gospel from us? And you can take any aspect of your life, as important as it is, everything can be subject and to this main mission, to reach people for Christ, making disciples. But I believe that this priority in our lives, it starts with our heart. Now, first we need to be like Jesus. To have gospel with us, in us. Second, we need to have this as a priority in our life, personal evangelism. But it all starts with our mind. When we read Romans chapter 12, verse 2, we read this: "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Paul was teaching that we have to be renewed in our mind. Everything starts here and here. If our mind will be in Christ, we will be in His mission. If somebody else takes our mind away and our focus on something else, then our mind is busy with something else. Our heart is busy with something else. I remember when my oldest sons, Zhenya and Alex, they both were coaching soccer teams in Charlotte. And I remember I was standing sometimes watching how they would coach. And I remember sometimes they would tell the players, you have to see the whole field. You have to watch the field. You can't just play with a ball and don't see the field. Otherwise, it doesn't matter how good you are with the ball, you are useless if you don't see the whole field. If you don't focus, you don't focus on the game, if you don't focus on the big picture. The same is true for our Christian life. Sometimes we get busy with something small. Something may be good and important, but it's not the whole, it's not big picture. Because if we look at the big picture, we would always see that God's mission to save people. And I would invite you to sometimes analyze your life. What is going on? Maybe once a year, maybe more than once in a year, but just look in your life and see what's going on. Where do I spend my time, my effort, my passion, my money? Where is my focus on life? I remember when I was a pastor in a church in Ukraine, sometimes we would start something with a good focus, with the right focus at the beginning of the year, but then 1 or 2 years pass by and we analyze how we're doing, and then we see that oftentimes we drift away from our main focus, especially from evangelism, from reaching people. Most of the time, by our human nature, we tend to drift into something that is more comfortable for us and to serve us as a Christians, as a what is good for us. But we forget about people who don't know Christ. So it's always good to pull yourself back to the right focus, to the right track. Third thing that who Jesus was. Jesus was passionate and creative in communicating the gospel. Somebody said that person is defined not by what he or she is doing, but by what person is passionate about and by what it brings joy to him. Yeah, it's a good question to ask yourself. What brings joy to my life? When the gospel, when the changed life of somebody for Christ, when it brought joy to you last time? Sometimes we think that personal evangelism is something boring, is something hard, boring, and we don't want to do it. I believe if something is fun for us, if something is exciting, we will find the way to do it. Again, I'm using illustration of my son, Zhenya, when he was a little boy. You know how hard it is to get boys in the morning to get up from the bed. But every time when we go fishing, and I go to him at 5 o'clock in the morning and say, Zhenya, let's go fishing, he would be up in a second. Because he loves fishing. He has passion for fishing. The same in our spiritual life. If we have passion, if we're excited about changed lives, we will find the way how to do it. We will do it. I also wanted to confess to you that at first I was scared by this. I wasn't excited because I wasn't doing it. I haven't experienced my changed lives personally, firsthand. That's why maybe I wasn't doing it. But when God gave me those experiences, when I saw how God would change people's hearts, and God was using me, He would give me those divine appointments with people, then I became more excited because I was in the middle of it. In our culture, we have this saying that appetite comes in the middle of the meal. At first, maybe you don't want to eat it, but once you start to eat it, then appetite grows too. The same spiritually, when we start doing this, we will grow, our appetite will grow for this. And I believe that excitement will lead us to creativity. I already mentioned to you that those four men brought the paralyzed person before Jesus. You know, when they came with him to the crowded house and around the house, they could just say, well, it's impossible. You see how many people just turn around and go home. But no, because they were so passionate about their friend, they were, you know, they were creative. They opened the roof. It's something that probably nobody done before. But they were creative. And we worship the God of creativity. Just look around you. All this nature, all these colors, tastes, smells. God is the most creative person. So He wants us to be creative too. I remember when it happened in Charlotte a few years ago. We were ministering to Russian-speaking people in Charlotte area, and we would invite them to our home for Bible study. But there was one person. He was about maybe 70 years old. He is a famous painter, artist. He painted pictures. His pictures were in different exhibitions in the world. But he moved to U.S. because his children were here. And he was so depressed. All day he would just draw pictures. And when we would try to talk to him about God, about Jesus, he would resist it. He wouldn't want to listen. He was an atheist at the time. He didn't want to listen. But we continued to be his friends, and we continued to invite him. And then one day God gave me this idea. Why don't you draw the gospel on a piece of paper for him? So one day we were sitting, and I said, let me do something for you. So on a piece of paper I would draw the good news, the gospel. No, just in a, I'm not an artist, but in a simple form, I drew this picture for him. And you know, that experience changed him. He wasn't resisting anymore. He was thinking more. He was listening more. And then later, when he got really sick, he was in the hospital dying. He called me and Angela. He had a heart attack. He called me and Angela. He said, come to me. I want to pray. I want to receive Jesus. And I want you to witness this. So, we can be creative. It could be movie. We can recommend somebody to watch a good Christian movie. It could be a good book. It could be a picture or something else. I don't know. It could be sports. There are many ways how we can get people into the gospel. Now, I was talking how we can to be as Jesus. But now, let's look what Jesus did. I want us to do something like Jesus. His actions. First of all, Jesus prayed a lot. He prayed a lot. At night, as we know, he would fellowship with his Father. During the daytime, he would pray. We don't know the content of all of his prayers, but at least in one prayer, in John 17:20, he said these words, I do not ask for this only, meaning for the believers already, but also for those who will come believe in me through their word. Jesus was praying for those people who will come to him. And if we make decision to do personal evangelism in life, first thing we need to do is to start praying. Praying for ourselves, because prayer changes, first of all, us, our hearts and minds. God changes us through prayer. But also pray for those people and for those divine appointments. There's a circle of people that we already know that need Christ, but we also can pray that people would send our way, people who God wants to be saved, and He wants to do it through us. And He will give you those appointments. Like Paul that we read in the book of Acts, chapter 16. God, he had a vision. This Macedonian man asked him, please come and help. So, sometimes we need these divine appointments. We had them in our life, not all the time, but sometimes God would send us people. Would be a miracle. We wouldn't look for them specifically, but God would show us, look, this is a person I want you to witness or become friend to. Second, Jesus had friends among sinful people. We know the Bible tells that all people are sinful, but among sinful people we designate some people that are more sinful. This is what Pharisees did, and this is what they accused Jesus of doing in Matthew chapter 11, verse 19. This is what they say. This is what Jesus said. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. I think God wants us to have in our lives people who are not saved yet as friends. And when I say friends, I maybe don't mean in a very intimate way, but person, somebody who we associate with, who we hang out with, who we know personally. This is what Jesus did. He was among them, eating, drinking. Why? Because they needed salvation. Jesus said that not the healthy people need doctor, but the sick people need the doctor. Those who realize that they're sick. I know sometimes we're afraid to be friends of sinners, because we may get dirty from them spiritually. But you have to be wise. Of course, if this person has a bad influence on you, yeah, you better not be a friend to this person. But with Christ, I believe, with Christ, with His power, we will have influence usually on people. When we had our small kids, we have three boys, and we would encourage them to have friends in their schools. They're not Christian. Families, not Christian friends. And we would encourage them to have friends, invite them over to our home, to sleep over, to play games, and then invite to church and play, you know, play sports, and then eventually invite them to Sunday school class or to Awana. And it worked. Because, you know, we were bold about this, that we wanted to influence them. We were not afraid that they will influence us or our sons. Of course, you have to be control the situation, and you have to know what your boys are doing and all of that. But we wanted to teach our sons that it's okay to associate with the sinners. Of course, don't do things that they do. And if it's a bad influence, you have to stop this relationship. But oftentimes we have these fears that we shouldn't have, because we can't just be around saints. In order to reach somebody, we need to be among sinners, among people who are not saved. And I just wanted to add that I'm glad that each of our sons had the privilege to bring, I don't know how many, but several of their friends to church, to Christ, through these relationships. As I said, you have to be wise and careful, especially when you get older, when the teenagers, who they associate with, and what kind of influence, who is influence who. But I believe with God's help, we shouldn't be afraid to influence sinful people. The third, Jesus was a caring person. He didn't just talk to people or taking care of their... He was taking care of their physical needs, but also spiritual needs. In Matthew chapter 9, it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So somebody said, I don't know who, but it's a famous saying, seekers don't really care about how much you know until they know how much you care. And our care, our evangelism should be accompanied by our good deeds for these people, that we would show Jesus' love, not just by words, but in our actions. In final, what Jesus did, Jesus had his small group. This is another topic for another presentation, but I just wanted to say that Jesus had his ministry to the publics, many crowd, no, big crowds, but he also selected 12 people to be his inner circle. And at that time when he selected them, or elected them, they were not believers, so they didn't believe in him every time, all the time. So the same we found effective in our personal evangelism, to have small group for seekers, for people who are open to study the Bible, for instance, to hear more about God, to fellowship and share the meal. Just one example we'd like to give you. This is really exciting for us. In Ukraine, we started with Angela, a small group of about 12 people, and all of them except maybe one or two person people who were not Christians. Most of them were seekers. And at first we thought it will not work. They're so much different age, different interests, different education. But after a year and a half, God blessed us that all of them came to Christ, and all of them were baptized. And since then, you know, we have small missional small groups. We have them all the time. We have them in Ukraine. We have them here. Now, this is, I know my time is coming to the end, and I just want to give you some practical steps. When you can, if you want to start to do something, make some practical steps, this is what I would recommend. Of course, first of all, make decision in your heart, in your mind. I want to bring people to Christ. I want to be in God's mission. I want to do personal evangelism. I know it's important. This is God's mission, and I want to be in it. I want to be effective. So first, you need to make this decision. Second, I would recommend you to learn the gospel. Learn the gospel, the content, you know, all the parts of the gospel, how to present it, how to communicate it to people. I'm sure in your church you have many help in this area, and Pastor Lee can help you. Learn the gospel well, so you can and practice it a lot. You know, you have to practice it until you know how to say it well. Third, talk to people about changed lives by God. This is how you get excited about personal evangelism. Just talk more about changed lives, about your personal change, how God changed you. Talk about somebody else who you know or who you read about. Talk about changed lives by God. This will get you excited. Fourth, take your calendar and mark a special time for prayer, special time maybe to invite somebody to your home, but use your calendar to remind you what you need to do, so it would be part of your everyday life. Fifth, make friends among non-Christian people. It could be your neighbor, it could be somebody at your work, or maybe, I don't know, but pray that God would give you somebody who you could become friend to. From the statistics, this is what I heard, the statistics. I heard that when somebody comes to Christ in a church, after 2 years, they almost lose all their non-Christian friends. In 2 years, they lose these connections. And I would say, this is not good. We have to stay in touch. We have to be connected to our non-saved people if we want to influence them and to be saved. Do some caring acts. Learn the needs of people. Listen to them and then see what they need and help to show God's love through caring acts. Of course, present the gospel to them in the right time and start missional small group. I don't know if you have them or not, but it's a good thing to do, to have missional small group. It could be in your church, or we recommend to do it at home, because people like to come to home. Again, I am here standing to tell you that personal evangelism is exciting. This is something great. It's fun. It's hard. Sometimes after missional small group, when everybody left our house, we have to clean a lot and do the dishes. Sometimes I have to paint the walls of kids. But it's worth it when you see how God changes people's hearts. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for your loving heart, that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to save us, to die for us. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mission that, Lord, you always, and you continue to do this, continue to save people. And it's by your design you want to use us in this process, Lord. And what a privilege it is to be in your mission. Lord, I thank you for this privilege, and bless each of us to be effective, to have this joy and privilege to bring somebody to Christ. It doesn't have to be many, but at least somebody, Lord. And I pray for this church, that you would bless this church with personal evangelism, that each person in this church would have this joy, bringing somebody to you. Help them to make these practical steps in their life. Get closer to this goal. And may your blessing be upon this church. Amen.